And your part is when you get right. Pick up bag and don't be late. Swing your part and your corner. Promenade your partner home. Swing your partner when you get right. Pick up four, no more. Walk that peavine, don't fall off. Go to see granny and don't get low. Swing your partner when you get right. Pick up six and you don't get mixed. And walk that peavine. Swing your partner. Pick up eight and don't be late. Swing your partner. Promenade your partner home. Fourth couple, walk that feline, don't fall off. Go to see granny and don't get low. Swing your partners when you get right. Pick up four, no more. Walk that feline, don't fall off. Go to see granny and don't get low. Pick up six if you don't get me. Walk that people. Swing your partner when you get right. Pick up eight and don't be late. Swing your partner and your corner. Promenade your partner for the last time. Honor and seat pardon.
River at Old Town. I wonder if those little scouts, well, no, they haven't died of hunger yet. I bet they've already eaten, have you? Oh, you haven't? Oh, my. Well, anyway, they're going to do two play party games for us. And they're from Jacksonville. Girl Scout Troop number 316.
Thank you.
Now, here's one of the prettiest groups we have here. They've come to spend the whole weekend with us, and they charmed us with their dancing yesterday. The Palmacea Pee-wees from the Tampa Recreation Department with Colonel Joe Carter as their leader. Aren't they lovely? Give them a great big hand. See why I told you not to pay any attention to your old growling stomachs. Because we have two more very special groups. One from J.R.E. Lee School, right here in our own county. Oh, well, where'd we come from? Oh, excuse me, Ocklockney. I jumped you. All right, I'll back up. These are our Georgia neighbors from Ocklockney in Thomas County. And they're going to do a play party game, Captain Jinx. And I know they are hungry, too. Have you all eaten yet? Neither have I. How about bringing them over right in the middle? See that cross in the middle of the stage? They should... That's center. All right, good. I asked if they knew a little short spiritual they might do, and they're going to do Home Into That Rock.
I got a home in that rock.
I wonder if Cousin Ed Fleming is in hollering distance here. If he is, pass the word that I need to see him a minute. Now, I'm going to allow you a brief break. Just go wet your whistle a little bit and down a little of those fish and hush puppies or some Perlow that they've got over there. And be back in your seat not a minute later than 1:15. How long does that give us? That gives you about 20 minutes. Well, get back as soon as you can, because we're just going right on.
Good evening, folks. Welcome again. We're glad to have all of you here. How many of you are here for the first time? I see your hands. Well, good. Mighty glad to have you and hope you'll come back again. I come back year after year, and we have many friends come back year after year. And since some of you are here for the first time, it's a very great pleasure for me to introduce to you the person who has done a great deal, probably more than anybody else, to make this folk festival a success. There are many people who have worked behind the scenes. I can't name them all, but we have one of the best folk festivals in the United States, and our director has just received an honor at being chairman of the Folk Music Committee of the Federation of Music Councils. So I hope you'll all give a very big hand of appreciation to Miss Thelma Bolton, our director.
Well, I can tell you one thing. One fella doesn't do it. And I'd like to pay tribute right now to my friends and fellow staff members, Mr. Barnes, our curator, superintendent, the genius behind this whole beautiful Stephen Foster Memorial Park back to the hilt by the Stephen Foster Memorial Commission, and every last member of Mr. Barnes's staff, especially to the colored boys who worked with us so beautifully, always with a smile, to help keep things going. And my hundreds of friends over the state of Florida who tell me about some of this wonderful material that you're seeing here. And if you who are in the audience for the first time know of somebody or some group who should be on this program, I hope you'll tell me. Please do, because that's how we're going to keep Florida folklore alive. Now, we're going to begin right where we left off. And as I was saying when the dinner bell rang, by the way, how about just ringing the bell one or two little tips there? That means that dinner's over and we're going to get down to business. And the first group is a new group. And they shouldn't be a new group because they come from Jasper in Hamilton County, from J.R.E. Lee. A wonderful chorus and some wonderful dancing. I give you the J.R.E. Lee chorus. Come right forward. And their director.
The J.R.E. Lee High School Chorus will sing two numbers, Get Along Home, Sydney, and Great Getting Up Morning by Stanton and Winstead. ¶¶ At this time, we have an African dance, which I'm sure most of you will enjoy, which we have just recently gotten together. It consists of the drums and four of our junior high students. Thank you.
Very imaginative. And we appreciate their working it out for us. And next year, they're going to work out for a folk band for us to bring. Now, I'm going to give the wonderful privilege of introducing the next group to our good folk dance consultant, Cubby Whitehead from Bradenton and Sarasota. Cousin Cubby, will you introduce our Greek Boy Scouts?
I'd like to say this. One of the most colorful nationality groups in the state of Florida are the Greeks at Tarpon Springs, who moved there a good many years ago and established a sponge industry. They've maintained many of their old cultures. The outstanding celebration during the year is their celebration of Epiphany. And each Epiphany Day, you are welcome to go, as I had the privilege of going this last Epiphany Day, to the religious observances, the throwing of the cross in the water and the retrieving of the cross by one of the young men of the community. And then after the religious ceremonies, then everyone retires down to the sponge docks, where they have Greek food prepared in the old way in big wash tubs, cooked over an open fire, and a lot of their wonderful pastries, and the names I couldn't hope to remember, even though I wrote them all down at the time. And they participate in many of their Greek dances, much as you will see here. And I'm sure next Epiphany Day that you will be greatly enlightened if you will go and join with this very colorful group from Tarpon Springs that we consider one of our, part of our very own Florida family, on Epiphany Day.
I think we need to tell you this, boys. I hate to have so much talking going on when I know you want to dance and we want to see you dance. But I think you'd like to know that these boys did this dance at the Golden Jubilee Jamboree when 56,000 Boy Scouts assembled at Colorado Springs last July and earned the Boy Life Award for their performance. Their costumes are very authentic. The Greek Evzone, soldier, that means, and is still in use by the palace guard in Greece. The gold and silver trim of their uniform symbolizes the wealth of the family, and in some cases the various colors indicate the islands from which they came. By their appearance, these boys earn recognition in civic service hours earned. Now, their dance means crazy butcher shop. All right, boys. Around. Now, I'm going to ask the children, we like you to be relaxed and enjoy informal. We're very informal. We have to be. But we don't want any running back and forth across the back of the stage, please. Because we have picture takers from all over the world here. And we don't want you to spoil our picture. Distract our attention. One of our favorite folk friends comes from where this St. John's River, the River of May, rises in Big Lake George in the middle of the state. Cousin Marcel Ferguson. And he's brought his guitar, and I think he's going to sing us a song.
Thank you, Cousin Thelma, and good evening, friends. It's really nice to be here and to play and sing for you. It really is wonderful.
Now you speak out so they can hear you.
Isn't this a crowd this afternoon?
Yeah, it'd scare you to death if we had good sense, wouldn't it?
You know, I hail from Putnam County, where the big bass grow and where they swim and where they bite once in a while, and Cousin Thelma's going to go down there with me one day, and we're going to catch a big one.
Good. Right, Cousin Thelma? I think you caught one right recently, didn't you?
Yes, I did. Caught two yesterday. One went 7.5 and one around 7. And no telling how many got away. You know, the big one always gets away. I'd like to sing a little bit of the Old Country Church. There's a place dear to me, I'm longing to be with my friends at the old country church, where with mother we went, and our Sundays were spent with our friends at the old country church. Precious years of memory, oh, what joy they bring to me. How I'd long once more to be with my friends at the old country church. As a small country boy, how my heart filled with joy as we knelt in the old country church. How the Lord he would bless if they'd only confess all their sins at the old country church. Precious years of memory, oh what joy they bring to me. How I'd long once more to be with my friends at the old country church. There was a program planned by myself, and thank you. I plan to have some friends with me, Mr. Cruz from Jacksonville, and another boy, Winston Miller from Georgetown, but you know, some things just don't pan out right. And so in its place, I'd like to tell you just a little story. It'll take about a couple of minutes, about the time when they used to hunt alligators on the rivers around these parts, maybe right down here. My father and Uncle Owen, that was his brother, they used to hunt alligators $1 apiece. Any size from 6 feet up to 12, they were $1 apiece. Now they're about $2 a foot. So they had to buy their shot and their powder, and they used a muzzle-loading gun, and they thought that they'd save a little money to have a harpoon made and harpoon some of them and chop them in the head, you know, and save that. So the first mistake they made after they had the equipment was to start out in a duck boat to harpoon one of them. They started out in Orange Lake, and the first one they harpooned was a big monster. He said he was lying on one of the tussocks, because it's that one that, you know, they lie up in the sun. And so he slid off in the water, and Uncle Owen, he threw the harpoon down and said, "Well, I hit something like granite, just like this floor here, maybe, and he's gone." But he looked down, and he was still there. He threw it down again, and he didn't know where he hit, but he hit the gator. And that line spun off. He said it was just like a 30-horse kicker going off. And they went out in the lake about 3 miles, maybe four. And Daddy, Cliff, he was hollering at Owen, says, "Owen, for God's sake, take the hatchet and chop that rope and let that thing go." Well, he said, "No, I want to save my harpoon and kill that thing." So when he tired out, well, he pulled the rope up real easy, and the alligator was harpooned in the flank, in the lower side, and he grabbed a hold of the bottom of the boat, and it was a 12-foot boat with the bottom on lengthwise, and he had grabbed a hold of a board and bit out a splinter about 6 feet long and about 3 inches wide. And he said, "Chop the rope," Daddy did, and he said, "No, I'm going to pull him up, and you chop him." So he swam out, the line got tight again, and he just swelled up on top just like a big balloon, and he was ready to do battle then. And Daddy said, "Owen, you've got one shot in that muzzleloader, and you can't reload, and we're going to meet our maker if you don't make a good shot." So he waited till he came up within about 6 feet of the boat, and he shot him right in the eye, and they had to get another boat and pull him in after gone ashore. And he was 12 feet long and 3 inches, 3 inches longer than the boat. That's all, folks.
That's when men were men. Cousin Luella Odlin brought me this bouquet from Odlin's Island down in the mouth of the Swanee, and I do appreciate it very, very much. And a little boy brought me these beautiful roses. I wish he'd come up and let me kiss him. No folk festival would be complete without our wonderful First Citizens of Florida, the Seminole Indians. As you can see, they are here with their fine friend, Albert Devane from Lake Placid. Many, many people have been up to ask me if they were here. They were invited to a picnic with the 95 children from the Baptist Children's Home in Jacksonville, who are here as guests of our little Baptist church. And they had a picnic, and they invited Billy and Frank and Josie Billy and the Devanes and the girls all to have dinner with them. So I know they're full of good food. Will you bring them up now, Albert? And I want Josie Billy to sing a little song, if he will.
Ladies and gentlemen, Cousin Thelma, everyone here, it gives me great pleasure to introduce to you, as Cousin Thelma said, Florida's First Citizens. These are very distinguished guests of the Seminole Nation. I'll briefly say a few words about the nation. The Seminole Nation came into Florida about 1710, 1720 from the Creek Nation. And they made their first town was on the Alachua Savannah, described by Bartram as a savannah. And in his first trip to Florida in 1765 with his father John, they visited this nation, and Cowkeeper or Sea Coffee was the chief. He was of the Snake Clan from the Creek Nation. Well, that nation grew from that time on. It went through three wars, the last of which finished in 1858, and they loved their Florida like everybody else here. And they hated to give it up, and they didn't want to go, and they fought. Well, at the end of this last war, there was less than 100 Seminoles left in Florida who refused to emigrate or to go west. And they were deep in the Everglades, hid out. They had the women deep in the cypress in some little cabbage hammock. And but they survived. They said that they would never leave here. And I might say that they're the only Seminole Nation in the United States that has never signed a peace treaty with our government. Now, from that from that small body of Indians of less than 100, which consisted of about 10 or 12 families made up of two languages or dialects, which was the Miccosukee and the Creek. And they have survived in spite of everything. Children were taught to not trust the white man, and the women and the children had no, they didn't have a thing in the world to do with them. Only a few selected men came out to do a little trading. Now, of that, I want to introduce Billy Bowlegs the third. Billy Bowlegs the third is 99 years old this last February. on the little moon, which is our first quarter. They don't call the days in the month, but it's by moons. And he was born in what is now Highlands County. He is hunted, great hunter, hunted all the way from Kissimmee to the Keys. Billy learned to read and write during this period, and he made out the orders for the Seminoles. Billy now lives at the Brighton Reservation and has his own camp, his own garden, raises his own corn, pumpkins, peas, watermelons, and what have you. He's very industrious, and he's a fine Indian. One more thing I want to say, that I told you that he was of the Snake Clan. The Snake Clan has furnished all of the head chiefs since the first chief that came into the nation. Sea Coffee was chief, followed by King Payne, Billy Bowleg II, followed by Micanopy, and Billy Bowleg II, I think.
Could he do the alligator call, you think?
All right.
Have him do that for us.
Now, Billy will give us what I told you, that Billy was a great hunter, and he killed lots of alligators. And one of his ways of getting the alligator out of his cave, why, he'll get him out. Billy, get up here and get that alligator out of the cave. Get up close anyway. Okay. Introduce Joseph Billy here. Come over here, Joseph. Joseph Billy is the next in age. Joseph Billy is the son of Florida's first educated Seminole. His father was Billy, the white men call him Billy Cornpatch, Conipajo, but they called him Cornpatch. When he was a boy, he went to school with Captain F.A. Henry's children at old Fort Thompson following the Civil War. At a private school, and he learned to read and write, and he was Florida's first educated Seminole. His father was of the Wind Clan. Joseph married a Panther, so he was of the Panther Clan. So he inherited being a medicine man. And Joseph, as a young man, after he grew up, after he spent 7 years of learning to be a medicine man, why, he was the medicine man of the Miccosukees at the Big Cypress. Then Josie joined the church, and he had to discard the green corn dance. He was a preacher, and then it was left to his brother Ingram, who took up the being medicine man. Now, Joseph Billy has, as I said, is also a doctor. He's an herb doctor. Besides being a great preacher among his people, he's this doctor which gathers herbs and administers to his own people and to many of the white people. Joseph Billy is loved by his own people and all the different white people. He is of the Panther Clan. This is Frank Shore. Frank Shore is chief medicine man of the Brighton Seminoles at Brighton, of the Creek, that speak the Creek language. He is a medicine man by inheritance. His uncle, his great-uncle, his great-great-uncle, and right on back as far as you were medicine men of this clan. I might say that the heredity of the family is handed down through the mother, and it's never through the father, because his father His father was Otter. His mother was Panther. See? Well, the mother's clan came down, so he followed his uncle, his mother's brother. See? So he is a medicine man through inheritance. Frank has seven children. His daughter, Geneva, graduated from Okeechobee High School 2 years ago, was salutatory of her class in Okeechobee. She's graduating this month from Haskell Institute in Lawrence, Kansas. His oldest son graduated from Okeechobee High School and is now in college in Oklahoma. He has five other children in school from graduating this year on down to the fourth grade. I might want to say this, that his wife, Lottie, who is of the Bird clan, is the great-granddaughter of Polly Parker, who escaped from the Army when they were taken to Arkansas at St. Mark's and came back to her people in Okeechobee. And we call her the Evangeline of the Seminoles after Longfellow. So we got so many programs on that's good. Why, we'll just stop here. But Josie wants to sing a little. You wanted Josie to.
Yeah, I wanted him to sing a little song
okay,
in
Josie,
his language.
I want you to sing a song in Mississippi.
A little short song in your language.
Because I parle que tu yas can more my come ma oh happy yakale se hasle kana pe yakale my talo faman shake gumesi याद की तो सीमिंग का खोके जाने में तो आ जाएंगे का पुष्णिया जा सुन अपना हो जिस तुम से
थैंक यू
They'll be here all week, all weekend, and I hope you'll get an opportunity or take an opportunity to talk to them. Lottie is over in the Chickie busily sewing. She made those beautiful medicine men's coats and their shirts that they are wearing, and I hope you'll ask Albert